Turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. We've been seeing how Daniel was plucked out of Jerusalem with some of the others that were the cream of the crop of the Jewish young men, and taken to Babylon to be pressed into service with the foreign king Nebuchadnezzar, and how he's passed all of the training that they had for the wise men, and passed with flying colors with God's favor and blessings. And we just finished up him talking about all of those things, and the reminder that Daniel was there in Babylon all the way through until the first year of King Cyrus. But then we have the first real difficulty that arises. So read with me Daniel chapter 2, 1 to 16. Now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to them, "I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The word from me is firm. If you do not make known the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation." They answered a second time and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation." But the king answered and said, "I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time, because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling are not with flesh." Now, that was what we looked at last week. Continuing on, we're looking specifically at this next section. Verse 12, "Because of this, the king was angry and very furious, and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree of the king so urgent?' Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy that the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter.' Therefore Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went in and said thus to him, 'Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So if you turn with me to your outline there, you'll see these particular things that I want us to focus on in our time together looking here at Daniel. So the first thing you'll see there in the outline is that the true God is knowable. The second thing you see is that God makes himself known through his people. And third, all his self-revelation culminates in Jesus. And I just realized what the problem was is in the notes there, you've got verses 1 to 16. That was last week's. So we're primarily focusing on 17 to 28, which is what I read up through. I just read to 23. Yeah. So let me read 24 to 28. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, or magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come." So in this, we find Daniel facing execution along with his friends. And we know from the end of chapter 1 that he's not going to be executed here, because God just told us that Daniel was going to be there all the way through the first year of King Cyrus's reign. And yet, you still feel the tension of, okay, what's going on? How is this possible? The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, sends out the decree and says, kill them all. And so the first thing that I want you to see is this reality of God being knowable. All throughout chapter 1 and 2 of Daniel, they refer to God as the God of heaven. And for the Babylonians, that's a way of relegating God to irrelevance, right? God, or the gods, if there is such, they're up in heaven doing their God thing. We're down here on earth, and we've got to do the best that we can. Except that the king has been troubled by this dream, and he wants to know what it means. And he's shrewd enough to know that if somebody comes along and says, "Oh, well, tell me the dream, and I'll tell you what it means," he can make anything up he wants to. So the king asks that the wise men let him know what his dream was as a test to know whether he should listen to their explanation. And so in 16, we find Daniel going into the king and making an appointment and saying, Let me have a time with the king, and I'll come back and explain what the king's dream is all about. But then, of course, as it goes on in verse 17 and following, Daniel doesn't have the first clue of what the king's dream is. Right? And we looked at last week the faith that Daniel was expressing to go ahead and make an appointment, even though he didn't know the answer. And so in all of these things, we've seen how the God of heaven is not far off just because he's the God of heaven. He's the God who rules over heaven and earth. And so what Daniel and his friends do is they run to the Lord. They have this great need and they run to him, and they urge one another to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. And while God is mysterious, he does make himself known. He reveals to them what's going on. The proclamation is given that there's nobody on earth that can do what the king is asking. And yet Daniel knows that he can trust God, that he will give an answer. The wise men of Babylon are without an answer, but Daniel knows the one who does know, the God of heaven who reveals mysteries. But it's also important to notice that not only does God reveal himself, but for us to all see how he goes about revealing himself. And that's the second point, is that God makes himself known through his people. That whether it was raising up prophets to speak, thus saith the Lord, whether it's the Holy Spirit coming upon, as Dan was saying, he's even spoken through donkeys, but that's not his normal way of speaking. He can speak through a clap of thunder and declare things from heaven, as when Jesus is baptized and he says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." But the normal way that he does it is to go through his people. And so we find Daniel and his friends praying, running to the Lord, asking him for wisdom, asking him to reveal what's going on. And they know Solomon had given them that example, to ask for wisdom. And so here, Daniel, a prophet of God, and yet he's not a lone ranger. He doesn't say, "Well, God's already gifted me and done all these things." He runs to his friends. He's got those buddies in Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. And far too often, we in Vermont, we just like to try to do it ourselves. And yet the Word of God reminds us he has not left us to ourselves. I think for us guys in particular, this is especially hard. It's one of the reasons why I love the men's Bible study on Wednesday morning, is we get guys together actually talking about life, looking at the Scriptures and applying it to our life. But it's not just Wednesday Bible study, it's us building relationships and getting to know one another well enough so that when everything hits the fan, we're able to run to one another and pour our hearts out together and pray for the God of heaven to hear us and know that he hears us through Christ. And so that's the role of Daniel, but it's also the role of God's people always, to speak God's word, to know what he's revealed, to know what is true about him and what is true about us, so that we can speak into the world in which we're surrounded. It's not too often that a king would tap one of us and say, "Hey, I had this dream. Can you tell me what it was and make sense of it?" Right? That's not usually what happens. But we often will get coworkers or friends or neighbors who are saying, "Hey, what's going on with that?" I love having Karis and Libby and Colby working at the inn, because most of the people at the inn have no clue about who Jesus is. And so Karis, you know, oftentimes will come home because she's a hostess there at the Red Rooster, and she'll say, "Dad, I don't understand. All the time, it's the waiters and waitresses, it's the cooks, it's the all of the staff that she interacts with. When there's a lull, will come to her and say, hey Karis, you're a new nursing student, right?" So they'll ask her about health questions, right? Or they'll come to her and ask, "Hey, your dad's a pastor, right? So what do you think about this?" Right? Or, you know, "I'm living with my boyfriend and he's really crummy, but there's this other guy down in housekeeping who's really cute, and so I'm thinking of going out with him." And Carson's like, "Oh, let's take this one at a time." That's not the way to go about it. But what we find is that as we live our lives praising Christ and loving other people, that very often they'll come to us with just life issues, things that are going on. You know, I don't know what it is, but you just seem to have your life more together. And so what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Now, we of course know that our lives are not together, right? We're a mess as they are. But in the midst of our mess, as God works and gives us peace that passes understanding and enables us to love other people, they see that, they sense that, and they come and ask. We are called to be a witnessing community. And God had called Daniel to this office of proclamation. He was called to speak the words of God. But we too are to reveal what God has shown to us in the Scripture. So what was it that God revealed through Daniel? Well, all of God's self-revelation culminates in Jesus. And so Daniel, in speaking to the king, notice how the king, who's been asking all the wise men, and none of them have an answer for the king. And so in 26, the king asks Daniel, "Are you able to tell me?" Now, remember here, he's under the possibility of being executed. And nobody else in all of the king's court has been able to answer. Daniel knows he's prayed and God's revealed the king's dream to him and the interpretation of that dream. And so it'd be really easy for Daniel to go, "Well, yes, I do. I can answer that, king." But notice what he does. Daniel replies, "No wise man, no enchanter, no magician or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. What you've asked, O king, is impossible. And there's not a man or woman on the planet who can do what you're asking to be done. But there is a king in heaven who reveals mysteries." When folks ask us, "Well, what would you do? Or what do you think about this?" Right? It's not false modesty. It we need to actually believe that our opinion, that our counsel, that our best wisdom won't get them squat. But we know the king who knows what's best for them. We know the one who has their life in his hand. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, Daniel said. And so we find Daniel pointing to God, pointing to this God who reveals mysteries. And that's what we find in Christ, right? That the very Word of God became flesh. That the wisdom of God is Jesus incarnate. That as Daniel goes on to explain that King Nebuchadnezzar has received this vision of what is to come, that every bit of that was written by Jesus, the Lord and Master and King of all history. That as we seek to understand this God who is knowable, as we seek to know the God who has made himself known to us that we might reveal him to others, it's in Christ, who is the very image of the invisible God. This is the reality that Daniel experiencing and that enables him to reveal to the king what God has made known to him. Let us pray that God would continue to work in us to enable us to be that conduit through which Christ is making himself known to our family, to our co-workers, to our friends, and to our neighbors. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you that you are knowable. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have come to make yourself known, that you have revealed the fullness of God, and that you have done everything to reconcile us to yourself. Lord, we praise you and give you thanks. We ask that you would use us as salt and light in making you known, in declaring the wonder of who you are. We pray that you would do all these things, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.